If you've struggled with stress, balance, or burnout, and simply feel discouraged or even defeated, and if you're ready to move from force to flow and enjoy ultimate Zen success in your career, health, or relationships, then the Zen Success Show is for you. Your host, Carissa Sims, is an entrepreneur, corporate consultant, best-selling author, meditation teacher, and healer who has found her own Zen success. Here's your host, Carissa Sims.
Welcome to this week's episode of Zen Success. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Peter Matisse. Let me share a little bit about Peter. Peter is a former venture capitalist, software entrepreneur, and founder of the Conscious Business Institute, CBI, which has provided a measurable, scalable, academically validated system for transforming organizations of any size, including Starbucks, BMW Group, Siemens, Allianz, Intel, and others. Before founding CBI, Peter was a principal for a globally leading private equity and venture capital firm, Apex Partners, and for B Business Partners, a $1 billion pan-European VC fund. Peter co-founded two IT companies and has published several dozen articles on business, leadership, martial arts, and technology. He's a fellow of the World Business Academy, member of the Evolutionary Leaders Circle, and is on boards of several organizations. Welcome, Peter.
Welcome, Carissa. Thanks so much for having me. So wonderful to be here. And I wish we would have transformed all those organizations, but I hope we had a dent in people's lives, in the ones that we touched there.
Yes, you're just being introspective that you worked with them and that you hoped to transform them even more. But maybe there were some individuals that you really touched and they had a ripple effect in their department. And you never know, down the line, it could have an effect on the whole organization. What do you think?
Yeah, we definitely did that. I mean, with some organizations like BMW, we've worked with probably over 1,000 leaders there. That's a substantial reach inside the organization. And I still get emails today, like 5-6 years after they've completed the program. And they said it's the most life-changing things. Can we re-engage with coaching? And some, of course, have left the organization because they said it wasn't a fit anymore. But many are still using these approaches and carrying them into the organization. So you never know. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And you don't know what happens with the water afterwards. So that's what we do.
Well, that's wonderful validation, though, you know, that they want to continue their learning and coaching with you. And I just had a question about your background in martial arts. Can you talk about how you have used that in your businesses?
Yes, I was in England many years ago, I think in 1998 or something, and I came across a Zen monastery, which my then wife stayed in, and we stayed there for a little bit of time. There you go, exactly. And a nun came up to me.
I'm cueing my Zen success.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was walking through this monastery, this old English building, like Hogwarts kind of a style, and there was a nun that said, "Peter, come to me. I need to talk to you." And I'm like, what is it? And she said, "You need to do Aikido." And I had never heard of Aikido. And so when I moved to Santa Barbara a couple of years later, I started training Aikido. So I've been doing it for, I think, 25 years now, on and off, of course, with my work. And it has been very, very powerful, because only after a few weeks of training Aikido, it has changed my dreams in the way I engaged with challenges, or when I was pursued in my dreams, for example, when I was under stress. And so it has helped me a lot in my own life. And we bring it into the organizations in the way we communicate, but also sometimes with physical practice, embodiment practices that I use in order to demonstrate just a different way of communicating, for example, or a different way to deal with stress and struggle situations, pressure situations.
That's wonderful. So what is the philosophy of Aikido that you think inspired that nun, that nun saw that for you?
I have no idea what she saw. Maybe she just saw my personality and got a hunch for God knows where, or Zen knows
Well, it's
where.
like, I feel like, obviously it's a sign. I mean, God is, or whatever you believe in, the universe is like literally pounding you on the head, saying Aikido
Do something exactly.
through this nun. I mean, so what is it about
Yes.
Aikido?
Well, there's the philosophy in martial arts that's very different in Aikido, that there's no conflict. If you look at most martial arts, pretty much any martial arts, there's a perpendicular, like a conflict situation. You hit somebody else and then they block it. And this is always a conflict. And so somebody wins, somebody lose. In Aikido, that's not the case. The idea is that there's never a conflict, that some people might be in a little different mindset, and so you blend with them. You use the other person's energy, and then you usually use a circular motion to bring them to a place, oftentimes on the ground, where you can pin them or something, not harm them, but pin them, and then you can have a conversation. So the whole idea from the get-go is that there's no conflict, that the conflict is just a different mindset. And so for me, Aikido, that's a profound change to look at the world in that way. If you practice Aikido a little longer, you might avoid conflict at some point in time. But if you practice it even a little longer, I found that you just walk down the street where there's no conflict, and you just know, I don't know, you just walk down a different path. So it becomes ingrained into the higher consciousness, that I might say, and you choose a different path without knowing that you're choosing a different path, I would say. That's what
Yeah,
I,
that's so fascinating. It's almost like you're vibrating at a level of peace, so that inside of you, that re reflects the outside. So you're not seeing conflict around you, or even in your dreams. Did it start to resolve your dreams as well?
Yeah, I always had a dream that I was chased by somebody and I tried to run away, but I couldn't run. I was like on the spot, and that guy was coming after me, and as a young person. And when I trained Aikido, I started to turn around towards that person, not needing to run away again, but to start moving towards that person and move with this individual. And then the conflict would disappear and the chase would disappear. So it became much peacefuler in my dreams that I sometimes had. And it became much more empowered, because I wasn't trying, so even the running away stopped, and to confront the situation without conflict. It's just, changed my life.
That's really powerful. And I love that you're bringing in this concept to businesses, because it's a shift from competition to collaboration, or maybe taking their shots and transmuting it into something positive. How does that work together?
Well, Aikido is the physical way of communicating. With what we have in authentic communication and our programs, for example, is the communication expression of Aikido, I would say. So we all have conflicts in our life, when we get attacked by somebody, when there's frustration, when there's a disagreement with somebody. And oftentimes we shy away from conflict, we walk away from it, or we try to distance ourselves from it, or we say, can it just go away? Can we just fix it? Or can this other person just listen to me, and can I push through it? So there's
Like about
always,
them, it's like, how can they get out of my life? Or, right.
or how can I dominate? And so we go into these old ways of dominating or becoming subservient to somebody, but it's not, no, oftentimes no real resolution. And we see that pretty much all conflicts in organizations, they lead to breakdowns, of course, and it's all people issues. And so the question is, how can we use conflict in a different way to build trust, or to actually move into a conflict, because it provides a possibility to create intimacy. The quality of a relationship is determined by the space between the people in which conflict can be addressed. So we could have a great time together and go skiing and go drinking and go partying and do all these kind of things, but the way I really get to know you is how you operate under pressure, how under stress in a conflict situation. Do you give me the space to be myself? Can I give you the space to be yourself? And so again, the same thing, to confront, like Aikido, to confront the conflict, not in a confrontational way, but to blend with the person, to understand where their energy is flowing, what they're feeling, what their needs are. And that way it becomes a beautiful dance if we're able to do that. And we actually can create a lot of connection and intimacy that way. Intimacy in terms of trust and connection.
That's so beautiful. I love that. You're making me want to sign up for Aikido and look into that. I have. So maybe I'll do that as well. Well, you've been very successful in your life working for these VC firms and starting two companies. Amazing. What were some of the companies that you started? Software companies?
Yes, after working for Anderson Consulting, now Accenture, I said, now I need to do my own thing. I founded a software company together with a couple of other people in Germany and led that for 5, 6 years. It was quite good. It wasn't a big organization, maybe like 20, 25 people. But I realized that I was still missing purpose in my life. So at that point in time, I said, you know, if I want to find a different way to work, I need to exit this kind of working.
Yeah.
And so that's the first time I moved to California.
Was that the
It's funny.
first time you realized that your soul wanted more out of life?
It was very early on in my career at Accenture already. You know, we were
Okay.
traveling around the world and we were called swans for some reason, smart, working hard, ambitious, nice people. I mean, who wants to be that? But
Swan.
we were called these swans. It's like, oh my God.
It's slightly feminine, but you know,
Yeah.
but it's
Yes.
beautiful.
Yeah. But coming back home, I felt dissatisfied and I felt like, oh my God, there must be more than this to work. If I have to do this, I'm going to shoot myself. Yes. And so the traditional success model worked for me, but it never made me fulfilled and happy. On the contrary, it left me depleted and it left me really yearning for a different way, and it left me disconnected from my wife, for example. So it was quite harmful for me.
Were you working a lot of hours and just not feeling connected to your personal relationships? I mean, how many hours were you working a day? Do you remember?
It was both the working hours. As a venture capitalist, I worked until 9:30, 10 o'clock every night, and my body can't do that. It's just not how I'm structured. Some of these people might be able to do it, but I wasn't. And so I was physically getting really burnt out. In my own software company, I wasn't working that much, but I just missed purpose. It's like, what's the point of this? You know, we create the software, we make some money, we help some people, but what's the point of all of this? I knew that there was something else that was pulling me.
So you had that balance. You were getting better in your work-life balance, except for that meaning and purpose. Is that right with the company?
Yeah, the venture capitalist was actually the last real job that I had. So I was getting better with a purpose and fulfillment, because as a venture capitalist, I thought, well, if we can build truly cool companies, then I want to do that. And so as a venture capitalist, as a board member, you carry a lot of power, you bring all the money along the table. So I thought I could make a dent in the way we conduct business. That was possible to a certain extent, but not to the extent that I wanted. And with the long working hours, it just didn't sustain for me.
Well, that makes sense. And then, so what was the moment where you realized that you could integrate your purpose with making money and living in this world, living in this 3D world?
Yeah, that's of course a big challenge. I didn't integrate it in the beginning because for me it was venture capitalist or I needed to get out, and I decided to need to get out. And I decided to turn my life pretty much into an experiment where I said, if I want to find a different, a better way to work and live, not just for myself, but also to build out better organizations, I need to get out of the system. I need to get out of my old ways. So I quit my venture capital job. I left my marriage, which was going sideways at that time. I left my home country, basically started from scratch, came to Santa Barbara and said, okay, now I'm just going to find a different way. And so then I found this different way, to found the Conscious Business Institute. But you know, what is conscious business? And in 2005, nobody knew that. And so it was very hard to combine making money and sustaining myself with this new way of doing business. And over time, it came together because we kind of bridged the heaven and earth, the tree tops of the vision of what conscious business can be, with rooting it into the ground so that it actually works for individuals and leaders and professionals in the heat of the day world.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah.
So how did those sales meetings go when you first started your business? Were you getting referrals? Were you calling people, having in-person meetings? How did those sales meetings go?
It was through referrals, and mm-hmm. the thing that really worked was some individuals understanding what I was doing and saying, wow, this is different. I need to bring you in. And in this particular case, it was one lady in Munich who was working with BMW, and she got exposed to what we do. And she said, wow, this is really cool. Let me take some coaching sessions with you. And so she experienced it firsthand and said, well, I need to bring this into BMW. And she opened the doors for us. And when I look back in the organizations that we worked, that was in most cases, it was that way, that there was a referral that experienced something and they took us in.
That's wonderful. And then it just built up from there. Then your clients would refer you to other clients.
Yes, it builds up from there, but honestly, it's still much slower than I want. It's not an easy sell. You know, conscious business is not an easy sell. And we don't sell conscious business, we sell solutions to people's problems. You know, when we go into an organization, they want to build a purpose-driven culture, or they want to build a people-centric organization, or they want to develop their leaders, and that's something we can help with. In the end, it all comes down to consciousness, because that's at the root of many things.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't go in and sell conscious business in most cases. Yeah.
Yes. It's the name of your company, and then you kind of get it in there somehow once you're solving their problems, because then, like you said, that is typically the root.
Yes.
Of the problem, right?
Yeah. And it changes. You know, I've done this since 2005. So talking at that time about conscious business is something different than now, because now you can actually talk about conscious business. And I had clients that come up and say, you know, I heard about Conscious Business Institute. How can we work together? And there's no question. There's no RFP process or something. They just say, Conscious Business Institute, I got to have that. And that's I see that more and more, and I see our world developing more to that stage where people are ready to just embrace it and say, it doesn't matter, let's just start working together, because the old ways, I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, that's validation right there from the universe, right? I mean, people coming to you with the name and saying, I need some of that.
I have to tell you a funny story talking about validation from the universe, because
Okay.
it was hard to build it up. It was many, many years of nothing and uncertainty what conscious business is and whether it's ever going to work and whether I'm going to. It's away. the most precious lives of my year and not knowing whether it's ever going to work out. So it wasn't easy for many, many years. And it's still slow. And so we had this retreat in before COVID, actually, and in south of France with our team. And one of our team members said, Peter, you need to go out and talk to Jesus. You need to go out to the lighthouse by the water and you need to channel Jesus. And so I said, OK, I'm going to do that.
And you never channeled Jesus before?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I got some very, very specific messages. And some of them were like,
I've talked to Jesus, too. He's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
He's got a sense of humor, yeah.
Yeah, and I was asking, why isn't it going quicker? What's missing here in the equation? And he said, you know, for what we are all doing in this world, this true transformation, do you really think this is going to go in a few years? Yeah, and we all want to see it happen pronto. And it's a big thing that we're trying to do together here on this planet. And I said, you know, how are we going to be sustained along the way? And what I heard was, do you really think that I wouldn't be able to sustain you if this was needed.
Oh my God, you're going to have to repeat that because of your laughter. I love it. I love that you're laughing about it. But okay, this is like, okay, can you say it again?
Yeah, it's like, how do we sustain ourselves? We need to earn money in order to build this, to keep building this. And I just got this weird look, and it's like, do you really think I'm not able to sustain you if this is supposed to come into the world? And I'm like, yeah,
Yeah,
duh.
how could you doubt? Really? Me? Jesus? Like
Yes.
that's what he said. Oh my gosh.
And
That
looking
sounds
back,
like
it is actually the truth that there was always enough. Not as much as we wanted and needed in some cases to keep the people on board that we wanted, which I'm really sad about, but there was always enough to go to move it forward. Can it be more? Of course.
Oh wow. I mean, I've interviewed, this is the third time I've interviewed you, and I'm actually just like blown away by that you channeled Jesus, and I'm just really inspired by that. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. We just got to get out and listen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or ask. I haven't done that in a long time. But it was interesting. I don't know why this story is coming up. This is supposed to be about you, but Jesus came to me to talk to a pastor. And he said, "Will you tell him that he doesn't have to suffer? That he doesn't have to suffer, okay? He really needs to hear that." So I told the pastor, you know, Jesus has a message for you. And like, I'm like, he's always there, you know, you can talk to him. And he wants you to know you can talk to him. And the pastor just like turned white. It was really interesting. I don't think you expected me to say that. It was
because
like,
of the
you know,
message,
traditional
or because
Christian. Yeah, I think because of both, like a channeling and like, can you talk to Jesus? Because I don't know, maybe in religion there is this process of like prayer, and you ask, and you don't necessarily have a conversation with an ascended master. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Yes,
anyway.
and I think this is one of the fundamental shifts that we can do. It doesn't need to be Jesus or anything religious,
Right.
but to consider that we are not out here by ourselves, and to have those conversations, to check in, that we are all able to do that, and to remember that, and that changes everything if we do that.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, I'd love to hear about your book. You have a book called Plan B. Will you talk about that? What is it about, and what inspired you to write it?
Yes, the book has been on my list for many years, and I started it and I stopped it and got busy. I started it and stopped it and got busy. And now I put it out into the world because it really summarizes really a different pathway of achieving what I call in this case authentic success, or you can call it Zen success, or just a more wholesome life that we're all seeking for. And we know that our existing worked approach to success doesn't work, because it only works for a few people that are able to accumulate more than the others. And we're constantly doing more. We're burning out. If we look at the statistics, it's blatantly not working. And we pretend everything is okay, but it's not. People are disengaged in organizations, conscious quitting, quiet quitting, whatever you want to call it. And so I'm looking at a plan B. That's why I call it plan B for being, BE. That our current model of success is actually the reason for our suffering, and that all of us have been educated with this current model of success, not knowing it because it's now so integrated in our entire culture, not knowing that we are pursuing a model that's not designed to make us happy. And that if we want to look at a different way to succeed that's more in alignment with who we are as souls and more fulfilling and more purpose-driven, we need to look at a different model of success. And so this is what this book is about, and how we can transition to this model of success.
Wonderful. And then tell me about your master's and PhD program that you offer through the Conscious Business Institute.
Yeah, the master's program, Conscious Business Master Program, is kind of our flagship program. It's a 10-month journey, and it leads us through all the stages for a wholesome life. It's self-expression, so we enhance our consciousness. There are psychics that we bring on board. It's really to look at who we are here to be during this lifetime. There's a bigger picture out there that we are here to express. What is that exactly? What's our magic that we're here to bring into the world? What's our purpose that we are here to express? How can we bring this purpose with juice and power into the business world so that it doesn't sound woofy and poofy? What are the fear-based drivers that keep us away, our what we call out-of-power behaviors? And then there's a lot of how do we bring it into an organization? How do we build a purpose-driven culture? What's the conscious leadership principles that we can bring into an organization? So this master program is a super rich journey on different levels. One, it gives a concrete approach that we can take into organizations or for our own lives or as coaches to our clients. And it is an individual journey that's truly life-changing. So we hear oftentimes that it's enormously liberating and one of the most life-changing experiences of my adult life, people say, because and it's just a beautiful journey because we build a community of like-minded people from all over the world. We get together in Barcelona in a few weeks in a beautiful place to celebrate. And so it's just an amazing program.
Oh, that's amazing. So wonderful. I actually took a look at the program and it's very rich and in depth. So I highly encourage everyone to go to Peter's website and check out the master's program and also his book, Plan B. It's wonderful. So I'd love to hear about some of the spiritual practices. We talked about Aikido, but I'd love to hear about some of the other spiritual practices that you do or that you have done to awaken you to who you are now.
Yeah. Maybe there are a couple of areas. One is the kind of awakening kick in the butt moments.
Yeah, that's a fun
or
one.
Like eyes wide open moment. And then there are more the continuous ones like the Aikido or yoga or just meditation every morning, those kind of things.
Okay.
Or just living life. The ones that impacted me in the profoundest way was my mentor, who is a psychic, and he's able to see people for their authenticity. So the first time I sat in front of him, he didn't know me, he'd never seen me before. And so for two, 3 hours, he talked about who I am, who am I here to be? Why am I having problems with my relationship? How are my parents? Like he saw everything to a point
and
that
did you
I had
talk
never
back
seen
to
before.
Him? Like, did you respond or it was like him just pouring this out?
Well, he was pouring it out mostly, but then of course we had a dialogue in between. And he just gets a ton of information when he connects to people. And he was the impetus for me changing my life because he saw me for who I was, which allowed me to be that. Before that, I wasn't allowing myself to be that because I was unsure. I felt that something was wrong, but I didn't quite know what the click was.
Yeah,
So
and he saw the truth of you. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, and this is for all of the listeners that are listening to this, the seeing of the truth, once we allow somebody to be seen like that, is the most empowering thing we can do. It's so powerful because then the person can be that. And then there's no pretense anymore. There's no judgment and those kind of things anymore. It all falls away.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And if you have kids too, I have two kids holding that space for them.
Yeah, very powerful for children. Yes, yeah. And they do it too. And then the second one was another channel. She channeled a group of Native American elders, and she channeled a body of work that we use in our programs, amazing body of work. And one of the things that she was channeling was my magic, like my unique gift that I'm here to bring to the planet. And for me to embrace that and to see that whenever I do that, work's not work anymore, allowed me to transition into something that I do naturally, doesn't matter what time of the day, where I don't feel I'm working. And whenever I do that, I'm in the flow of life because it's just me. It's not what I do, it's who I am. And the third thing is probably the experience down in Peru, the ayahuasca journeys that I take and talk
Wow.
about.
Had you always wanted to do an ayahuasca ceremony?
No,
No.
I wasn't too aware of them until a friend of mine said, "Come on, let's go down to Peru. It's really cool, and we'll do some ayahuasca ceremonies." And I'm
It's
that kind
really
of
cool.
guy that, especially when I was in my venture capital office, I needed some kicks in the butt to get out and sort of move. And so this journey was a kick in the butt, and I signed up for it. I was down there, and just wanting to find my purpose and clarity about life.
And did you feel like it did that for you? I mean, how was the process of the ceremony? Did you get sick or were you okay? Did you see visions?
I did. I didn't get the that many people experienced or
Yeah,
hope
it was
for.
more subtle.
Some did. Some
Yeah,
did,
of
like past
course.
life, I was a king and all those kind of things. I didn't see
Yeah.
that. In the ceremonies, the first one was very, we did three or four ceremonies. The first one I remember was just being really beautiful. I was exhaling butterflies. I was experiencing how we create in our lives. And when I thought of something, it was there. So there was no
Oh my
delay
God, I
between
love
thinking.
that.
So it was really cool on that level. The second one I went in to find my purpose and ask, what's my purpose in life? I would like to have that. And I was sitting there during the ceremony not wanting to get sick because I don't like getting sick. And ayahuasca does that, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, not for everyone. I haven't done it personally, but a lot of my friends, I mean, a lot of my friends have done it. So, I mean, I'd say 90%, and half of them have gotten sick.
And in Peru, everybody had their bowl, their televisor, because
They have their pupil.
when you stick your head in there,
Do they
that's, he
have
said,
diapers too? No, I'm just kidding. I don't
no,
know.
it's a little different story about that,
Okay.
but
Okay.
apparently when you purge, you get the best visions, the shaman said. But I don't like
Oh.
getting sick, so I said, yeah, I'm gonna be careful. And eventually I said, I traveled half around the world, I want to know my purpose. Come on, let's go. And as soon as I let go, I heard a voice kind of in my mind that said, there's no purpose. I'm like, what? There's no purpose. You got to make it up. Because if I gave you your purpose, I would take away your power. And so I said, oh, this made sense.
That's
Yeah, I
free
said,
will, right? That's connected to free will.
to free will. And literally, if I would tell you what to do, then I would take away your power as an individual, which is all about this lifetime here. We can choose. And then the question is, of course, is there free choice? But we can go back to that at a different point. And then the second question was, how do I then discover my purpose? What's leading me to it? And what I heard was, your passions, follow your passions. What really inspires you? At that time, I wasn't feeling very passionate in my job, so it took a little bit of time, but it was the breadcrumbs that eventually led me to the moment where I received my purpose, when I received this vision about the Conscious Business Institute and said, this is what I want to do with my life.
And what was the time frame from having that journey and starting the CBI?
It was from 2001, I think. I had this journey and I had the vision about CBI in 2004.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's wonderful. So, how do you work with organizations? What is step one when you go in?
They're different entry points. Usually, the leader of an organization tries something out. They get exposed to something, either our master program, or they do coaching, or they watch some of our talks, or do something, and then they say, "Oh, I want this in my organization." When we go in, we usually either go with our culture assessment, so we assess the culture according to our conscious business
Okay.
approach. Yeah, so they can see where there are maybe gaps that they want to work on. Or we oftentimes go in with a keynote speech talking about conscious leadership and a different model to inspire them, and with a leadership workshop to just get the core team in a room for one day or sometimes a series of workshops to talk about these principles. And following that, we go deeper into the organization with our structured programs.
Oh, wonderful. And typically, do they start the conversation in the room with a problem that they want to solve?
Yes. Yeah,
Okay.
let's develop a purpose-driven culture, for example, or let's build coherence in our leadership team. What's our leadership vision? You know, it's a new company. They've come together as leaders. They haven't worked together or not too much, and they just need a space where they can really come together.
And what about for individuals and entrepreneurs? Do you provide coaching, like individual coaching for that
Yes, we
population?
have individual coaching programs, which is the most comprehensive one is our conscious leadership coaching program, which is a certain amount of hours, and it leads to our entire program, which is super powerful for leaders, super powerful. If people want to go a little easier, we do individual coaching sessions upon request. We have a bunch of coaches that are trained in our methodology. I still coach because I like it. Or to just look at the Plan B online course, the book, because that's an easy way in to just try it out.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What is Zen success to you?
Zen success? Oh, let me feel into that for a moment here. Zen to me just speaks peace and groundedness. Just a deep sense of rootedness and groundedness and effortlessness. Yeah, and so there's a dichotomy in there. There's a like it bites bites each other. Success is kind of outward and then so much inward and at peace. So it's an interesting bridge for me. It's really cool to think about it. What does it mean for you? I'm curious.
It just means not forcing life, being in flow. That's what it means to me. So, but I love the peace element that you brought in. And just for our audience, when I came on the Zoom with Peter, we took a moment to be in Zen and to breathe and to just be at peace. So we said we do practice what we preach every once in a while, right?
We do.
Was really
Talking
good.
about Zen success, maybe there's one little story, because I feel this is the biggest hurdle when I work with organizations, because we're living in such a doing addicted world that's so outward oriented. We do everything with our hands. We see, we hear, it's so outward oriented. And to think and allow that just the inward movement can actually create and is super powerful if we really want to create success in our life, wholesome success. I've always feel people go back out. What do I need to do now? During COVID, I was sitting on my chair in the living room and I felt I calmed down for a little bit, and then something was coming up and it's like, oh, I can write this email. It was really inspiring. But when I forced myself to keep sitting, to do nothing, not to do nothing, but to do nothing, I always came to a different space, which was extremely powerful. There's this one person here in Montecito, which is a wealthy individual. He has several companies. He has one room that's looking over the ocean. And in this room, there's only a whiteboard and a chair. And he says he sits there every morning from 9 till 12 and sits. That's it. And eventually he gets up, he has an idea, he puts it on the whiteboard, and he sits back down. Maybe one idea a day. And then he calls up his people and say, okay, we need to implement that. This is what we will do. And he says he's never been as productive and creating things as since he started that. So for us to really not just hear it, but to deeply ingrain that coming from this different place is actually extremely powerful, is something that we can remind each other of.
Yes, absolutely. So, what's next for you? What are you excited about?
What am I excited about? Oh my God. On one hand, I'm excited about what's coming around the corner, because our world is going to be confronted with a lot of challenges during the next 20 years. And this transformation is going to be very intense for many and very beautiful for other people. And so that's very exciting to me, what's coming. I mean, I've been quite gnarly as well, but that's exciting to me and to play in that field. What's exciting to me is to we're putting out this unified culture assessment to reach more and more people with that, and to really think about how can we scale to millions of people in the business world and help them create better ways to work and live. Because if we don't do that, not much is going to change here.
Yeah, well, that's so interesting. I'd love to learn more about that, what you're doing. You'll have to send that to me if it's possible, so I could learn more about that
Yes,
assessment.
Happy to.
Yeah. Well, anything, any last words, any inspiration you'd like to leave our audience with?
The thing that pops up is that your audience, I assume, is very familiar with these concepts and is very open to these ideas and concepts, and you're already living in this space. So the question that comes up is, what would need to happen, or what would this really bold step would be where you take it out into the world in the boldest way? Not just in a bold way, but in the boldest way. So that your pants are fluttering a little bit because you're shaking. And what would you need in order to have that happen? Because I think we're all in a place where we need to step up a little bit to the plate. There's no option to sit on the bylines and watch the game, or to make this a nice experience. We're being called to put it out into the world. And so to come together and actually do it together and to make that big impact, I think that's what we're called to explore, how to pull together to do that.
Thank you. That is inspiring. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on my show, hearing about your book, Plan B, and the Conscious Business Institute. And I'll put your website and how to connect with you in the show notes. So thanks for joining me on the Zen Success Show, Peter.
Thanks, Carissa, for making the space. Really appreciate it.
That's it for today's episode of Zen Success. Head on over to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to shows. Subscribe to the show and share with friends. Be sure to head on over to zensuccessshow.com to help you on your Zen success journey. And join us on the next episode. May you find your own Zen success in life.